We talk a lot about Lamar Jackson and the standoff between he and the Ravens. And I'm convinced that Jackson is still very interested in being a Baltimore Raven. I believe that there are three relationships that are part of this story that I want to get to, and I want to bring in my friend Mark Viviano from WJZ in Baltimore. Because I think there are three. There's fans, there's teammates, and there's the organization. Let me start with teammates. How strong is that relationship?
Adam, I'd say it's strong. Just as recently as last night, Morgan Moses, starting right offensive tackle for the Ravens, just was gushing in his praise of Lamar Jackson, the teammate, Lamar Jackson, the person. And he was the first player that we've kind of heard from since the end of the season. And when they cleaned out their lockers following the loss to the Bengals, the Lamar Jackson subject was pervasive, mostly because of his absence. And there wasn't a single teammate who didn't speak highly of him and speak hopeful that he would return as the quarterback. So Lamar's standing in the locker room is undeniable in that it is strong. The players love him. Players throughout the league love the guy. They respect his ability. They're in awe of his ability. And I'm sure we'll get into some of the other relationships as they pertain to the business side of this, but I would suggest that the locker room, as far as those who have played with him and even against him, I would describe him as an admired figure for sure.
So the next relationship is Lamar and the team itself, excluding the, that's why I started with the players, because these are two different relationships. I know he asked for a trade back on March 2nd. I don't believe for a minute he really wants to be traded. What is the relationship between him and the team?
Well, the public description of the feeling that the team has for him, and it has been consistent throughout, it's almost cartoonish in how much they profess their love for Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. You have to look at it for what it is. Knowing that they could lose him or trade him, they would have to speak well of him because he's an asset to them.
Right.
So they're going to say all good things about him. And I think, to be honest with you, Adam, it is genuine. John Harbaugh loves Lamar Jackson. Right. Eric DaCosta does have an affinity for Lamar Jackson. But what DaCosta, the general manager, has said repeatedly and increasingly is there's a difference between Lamar, the player, and Lamar, the agent, because he represents himself. And the business side of that relationship, DaCosta has described as difficult. He has described as burdensome. And there are even two sides to even describing that relationship between the player and the front office. They do love him. I mean, and if you consider since they drafted him, and they were the one team that reached into the first round and made a trade to make him a first-round quarterback.
Right.
And dedicated their franchise to an essential offensive rebuild to accommodate the skills. And it's a different type of offense you have to run with his skill set. And then he brings you a dynamic attack, which is unlike any other. They did it. They call it a revolution, mm-hmm. and he's been their guy. So they've invested. Now the question then becomes, how much are you willing to invest as it now ratchets up to a higher cost? And I'll say this too, Adam, one thing needs to be made clear. You must succeed on a quarterback's rookie contract. You must succeed at that time, as the Chiefs did, as the Bengals did, as the Eagles have done. Mm-hmm. You better, because once it comes time to pay big, it becomes more difficult, not impossible, but more difficult to surround that star player with the talent needed to have a good team. Quarterbacks are important. Teams win games. But they won one playoff game in the 5 years since they drafted him. And that in itself rates as a failure. Right. Because now you have to pay him, and it's going to be more difficult to make your team better at the rate you're going to have to pay him to keep him.
Yeah, it then flips from the quarterback's on a cheap contract, so you got to take advantage of that. Now you got to find a lot of other players on cheap contracts to kind of counteract the fact that you have to pay your quarterback a lot of money. And now, one more relationship before I get to the nuts and bolts of why we're here, and I think we all understand that it's the only reason why Jackson has not already been signed is the contract demand. That's the only reason he hasn't been signed. What is the relationship between Lamar and the fans of Baltimore?
Well, it's interesting, and you've been in Baltimore before, mm-hmm. and I think you have a pretty strong understanding of what Baltimore is. One thing Morgan Moses said just last night, it's been his observation, he's played for other organizations, that Lamar Jackson is a representative of the Baltimore culture, and he gives Baltimore people hope. I think it's clear the understanding is Baltimore City in particular, its urban population mm-hmm. is 70% African American. Lamar Jackson brings overwhelming appeal to that part of the fan base, rightfully so. He is, you know, from his entry into the NFL, he could be described as elusive and unconventional, both on and off the field. But there is, he certainly has a great appeal to the people of Baltimore. I mean, they celebrate him. And I say that to say there are some fans who would prefer conventional. They would prefer less elusive, more communicative, a guy represented by an agent who appears to be more buttoned up. And there is sort of a divide. You know, everywhere I go in town, everyone wants to know what's going to happen with Lamar. My first question is, what do you want to see happen? I just ask it right back. And it's almost down the middle. There are some who say, God, they got to keep him. That's Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And there's another group that says, I'm done. It's too expensive. I don't like the way this is going. I'm over it. Let's start over. So that's the answer to your question of his relationship with the fan base. It is a passionate connection to some degree, and the other part of it is it's just been wearisome to some, and they're done with it. So I am of the mind, Adam. I still believe, and you alluded to this earlier, he doesn't really want to leave. What he wants is to be compensated. And what he said in his tweet in which he indicated he's asked for a trade is that he said the Ravens are unwilling to meet my value. What has happened or what happens, and this is not uncommon, the Ravens just have a different sense of his value. And no one knows him better than the Ravens. The Ravens know everything about him. They know how great of a player he is, what a leader he is, how he prepares. They also know his dedication to rehab. They know his sleeping and eating habits, which have come into question. They know it all.
Mm-hmm.
And they know what it's like to deal with a guy who doesn't have an agent. And they've described it as burdensome. So they know the whole package, and they've put forth a value to that for them to keep him. His value that he sees for himself is higher than that. Will that be a compromise? I think so. Will he be willing to play under the tag number? I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
Could the Ravens kind of keep this relationship moving forward if they can't reach a long-term deal by just sweetening a one-year deal? Because you know this, Adam. The most motivated player in all of sports is a guy playing for a contract.
Yep.
1 year, $40 million. Give him more than the 32, just to raise it to what the perceived market value is for a player of his ability, and see what you can get. That way, he'll at least be there. The worst thing that could happen is he doesn't like it. He sits out. You got a new offensive coordinator. Nobody's ready for the season to start, and this thing just goes off the rails because of it. You want to avoid that. Ideally, you get the long-term deal, which I think is still possible. I say 3 years, fully guaranteed, 140 to 150. That's market value. Puts him up among the highest paid annually and one of the highest, and make it guaranteed. And put a written provision in. No tag afterwards. We'll see if we can continue the relationship or you're free to go. 3 years. That's how I would do it. I don't think it's beyond repair, and I don't think it's beyond thought that he would still play for the Ravens. I feel like I'm in a growing minority, in my opinion, though.
Well, the only people that really matter are, will the Ravens and Lamar Jackson accept something like that? And I don't know the answer, and I keep saying that. I feel like the number needs to be the total number. Maybe you'd be better off guaranteeing him that contract over 8 years, $250 million over 8 years, rather than keeping the same average annual value over a shorter period of time. But I honestly do not know. Maybe the last few years are dummy years so the contract can end. I don't know how that's going to work. But let me ask this question, and then I want to ask you about the O's very quickly. If another team, and I don't think another team is going to do it because they, well, maybe I'll ask you the question. I'm not going to assume. If another team signs Lamar Jackson to a $250 million guaranteed contract over 5 years, will the Ravens match it?
I don't think so. I think they're prepared to move on. And I think that is telltale about the relationship. The Ravens have always gone by, and it goes back to Ozzie Newsome, right player, mm-hmm. right price. They love the player. They're just not keen about the price right now. And they're not seeing eye to eye with the player on what that price is. Remember, you know this. There is a statue of Ray Lewis outside of the stadium. They told Ray Lewis at one point in 2009, this is what we're offering. You don't like it? Go shop. He went. He went and shopped. He talked to Dallas. He talked to Miami. He came back.
Yeah.
So that's Ray Lewis. They are pretty firm in establishing right player, right price parameters. And it applies to Lamar Jackson. Quarterbacks are a different breed and a different level of importance. I get it. But they're still applying that to him. And I don't think they would match that. I don't think they could. I don't think they could fit it, to be honest with you. So there's also that element at play, not just for the Ravens, but other teams who would be potential bidders.
All right, before we let you go, Mark Viviano, it's opening day. I've always thought that opening day should be a kid should not have to go to school on opening day. Across the country should be a national holiday. I used to like when opening day was a Tuesday. When I was a kid, we never missed. I actually didn't miss opening day. Even when I was in college, I would go back for the Mets home opener at then Shea Stadium. So I know it's celebrated in Baltimore anyway because the Orioles are part of the community, and they were a good team last year. I think the win total is like 76.5 you can get in Vegas. Give me your thoughts on what the O's could be this year. I kind of like them.
Yeah, this is exciting, and it is the fruit of years of pain. I mean, when you launch a rebuild, you are guaranteeing your fan base you're going to suffer for anywhere from 3 to 6 years. And even look at Philadelphia. Theirs didn't go well for a number of years before they finally reached a World Series last year. It was a failed rebuild in many ways. You know, this is a young group. It's an exciting group. And Mike Elias deserves, who is the general manager, who took on this gargantuan effort, which it's not just a rebuild, which we saw the Cubs do successfully and the Astros do successfully, but it's rebuilding in the American League East.
Yeah.
That is, you know, I'll never forget this, Adam, interviewing Dan Duquette, who was then a general manager of the Orioles in spring training 2018. He said, you don't rebuild in the American League East. Well, that was his last year with the team, and Mike Elias said, hold my beer.
Yeah.
I'll show you how this is done. And remarkably, through the pain, you are now seeing a completely redone franchise. And I don't just mean what you see on the field, but what they've done to bolster their research and development, the number of scouts, their international market presence, all of that. They've built it back up from the studs. They won 83 games last year, which they admit was ahead of their schedule. And now they've got a stocked minor league system, which has a number of players who are ticketed for major league debuts. And if they're not doing it for the Orioles, they will be the assets used to acquire players from other organizations that could bolster this major league roster. So it's a pretty exciting time. It's not done yet. They've declared the rebuild over. It's time to compete for a playoff spot.
Sure.
And I believe that. But at the same time, it's still the American League East, and it's going to be a tough run. But I think they're up to it, and I think it's going to be pretty exciting and a good time to be an Orioles fan.
Yeah, I think every team in the division. I think Boston's actually the team that I look at as the weakest. But I think every team in the division thinks they're going to make the playoffs, and that is incredible. I'm a Mets fan. There are two teams in the division that are probably not. I mean, Nationals are tanking. Marlins, great starting pitcher. But after that, I don't think the rest of the team is great. But the other three teams, pretty doggone good. Mark Viviano speaking of pretty doggone good. At Mark WJZ in Baltimore. I appreciate your time, as always. Have fun today, and good luck on the Lamar Jackson front. You'll break news. I know you do. You break all sorts of news.
Oh, at this point, this is different, but this is a story unlike any we've had in Baltimore, and it's got everybody talking, including down there where you are, Adam. Have a great opening day.
Well, first of all, same to you, Mark. The NFL is just a national. Every team is covered like a home team nationally. That's just what the league has become. Whether it's fans. We have legitimate Ravens fans here. Maybe they're from Baltimore, but they live here now. But I just think that the sport itself, it's not a regional. Obviously, there are more Panthers fans here. But my guess is that Panthers fans probably only make up about 40% of the NFL fan base.
Yeah.
Here. Man, I could be wrong there. I'm just going to guess. Let's just say half.
Yeah.
And the rest of the fan base, the rest of the NFL fan base, are fans of other teams.
A mixed pot.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have a youngish team, and then you have a state full of a melting pot.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I don't think that, I mean, we're probably a little bit different than a lot of other places, but I think that's probably similar just about everywhere in the South, where I would say we have better weather, but have you been here in the summer?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's hot everywhere. So, we just everybody's covered, especially stars like Jackson and Rodgers. They're covered like they're not even football players. They're celebrities at this point. So, but what I found interesting there, and we'll break right after this, was my mischaracterization of Jackson and the team together. I really believe that the Jackson, he wants the Deshaun Watson contract or something that resembles it. I think he wants the total guaranteed number to be higher. I don't think Lamar Jackson will accept the compromise deal that Mark talked about and that other people have talked about. $140 million, whatever it is, over 3 years guaranteed. I don't believe he accepts that because it's not the guarantee that Deshaun Watson has. I always thought that was the real the goal. If I'm wrong and there is a compromise to be made there, okay, great. But I still think that I have a hard time releasing my belief that it's about the total number, which I think you could get to through dummy years,
yeah,
which would lower your cap, but maybe not. Maybe Lamar does it. Maybe this is the peril of negotiating your own contract. Maybe that's the bigger issue. I don't know, but it's hard to close your eyes and not see Lamar Jackson playing for the Ravens because they don't really have another option. You know, Huntley is not the option. He shouldn't be. But if they're prepared to move on, as Mark said, who are they moving on to?
Yeah, good question.
There's nobody there. Although, maybe they'll have an idea by the draft. And they could certainly
maybe
draft a quarterback.
Maybe.
I was watching highlights of Anthony Richardson's pro day. Looks impressive.
Yeah.
I'm not advocating for it, but there's a lot of teams that are going to take a shot on Anthony Richardson.